part of the illegal operation was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment. Similar cases have occurred from Katy, Texas to Charlotte, North Carolina, and help explain why in many big box chains and drug stores around the country, items like teeth whitening strips and razor blades are increasingly being put behind lock and key. Stolen goods used to show up at flea markets and pawn shops, but that has changed in recent years. One of the biggest issues that brick-and-mortar retailers have been grappling with is the rapid growth of online marketplaces, where anyone can easily sell goods, often anonymously. Amazon, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, Etsy, all of those are utilized by illicit online sellers, and they're allowed to get away with it because the illicit sellers are allowed to operate with anonymity on the internet, Mr. Duggan said. They don't have to list their real name or real addresses or location or their real banking information, so no one is concerned about being caught if they're not even using their real name. Consumers are often unaware of the provenance of items they're buying, but issues can emerge with products like baby formula, which can be expired or otherwise compromised when stolen. The anonymity reflects yet another instance in which criminals stymied by rules in the physical world can operate freely on the internet, an issue that has surfaced in problems involving misinformation, questionable advertisements, and merchandise glorifying crimes. Pawn shops, for example, are regulated in almost every state, said Richard Rossman, a sergeant with the Broward County Sheriff's Office in Florida, who is also part of the Coalition of Law Enforcement and Retail. The Coalition of Law Enforcement and Retail has gotten support from industry groups and retailers, including pharmacy chains Home Depot and Ulta Beauty, on partisan legislation known as the Informed Consumers Act. The bill would require online marketplaces to authenticate the identity of high-volume third-party sellers, including their bank account information and tax identification, and allow consumers to see basic identification and contact information for those sellers. Etsy, OfferUp and eBay said they support the legislation after opposing a draft of the legislation that raised privacy and safety concerns for sellers. Meta said that Facebook Marketplace users could report items they thought were stolen and that law enforcement could contact the company regarding suspicious items. Amazon said in a statement that we regularly request invoices, purchase orders, and other proofs of sourcing when we have concerns about how a seller may have obtained particular products that they want to sell. Amazon added that it employed 10,000 people working to prevent fraud and abuse on its site and supported the Informed Consumers Act.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have been looking at what are some of the challenges that we face and how do we tackle them using the words of the Quran, using the ayat of Allah, which are a rahmah, which are a shifa, which are a cure, which are a mercy for our souls, for our heart, for our family, for our community, for humanity actually. Tonight I want to look at the topic of religious pluralism or social pluralism. How to traverse an ocean of religions and their followers. that does Islam recognize other religions? And if so, what status do we give to them? As I said, that Islam is the final religion. Islam was the first religion, and Islam is the last religion. Its variations were not in the teachings, in the ahkam, in the aqayid, in the theology. They were in the practicality, how to pray, how to fast, how to make pilgrimage, various actions like this. So what does Islam think about those who follow other religions? When we look at the Quran, we see that Allah divides humanity into two main categories. The believer and the non-believer. The one who submits and the one who doesn't submit. The Muslim and the kafir. A Muslim, obviously, is one who has submitted to Allah. He follows the final teachings of Allah in his age, in his time. And again, in our time, that means that you follow the Quran, the teachings given to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that is to be Islam. That is to be a Muslim. And obviously, take it a step further, you follow the Imams of Ahlul Bayt as ordered by the Prophet and as spoken about in the Quran in general ayat. Now the other side are the kafirs. A kafir is literally one who covers over the truth, who rejects Allah at some level. And so here under the category or the subcategory of the subcategory of a kafir, we see at least three different distinctions. We have Ahlul Kitab. Now I say they're kafirs because they don't believe in Rasulullah, but they're still what Allah calls in the Quran Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. Because they were given a divine scripture by their respective prophet. And so the Jewish community are Ahlul Kitab. The Christian community are Ahlul Kitab. The Zoroastrians, as the Quran talks about them as well, are Ahlul Kitab. And the group known as the Sabi'in, they are also Ahlul Kitab. Although they may or may not exist today, but there is apparently a group, and they... The Sabi'ins are people who apparently have followed Nabi Yahya, what they call in English, John the Baptist. But these four groups are within Ahlul Kitab, but under the umbrella of kafirs, because they did not believe in Rasulullah. And then obviously you have the mushrik, the ones who worship idols, who set up partners with Allah. And then you have the outright kafir, one who doesn't believe in any religion, who rejects God in its totality. So the question comes that I want to now propose and reflect upon is that how do we deal with these people? And even before that, you know, we have to realize that today we might even find people who aren't Muslims, but they're not necessarily kafirs. Because literally a kafir is one who covers the truth. In order to cover the truth, you need to know the truth that you can cover it up. But unfortunately, we live in a world today where you have people who don't believe in God, don't believe in Allah, but it's not because they don't want to, it's because A, they have not been told about God. They live in a system, in a society where materialism is the God. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that one who takes their hawa, their desires as their God? Or propaganda has clouded over religion? Or even as I personally have met people who were born into Catholic families in the Latin American countries, and when I spoke to them about God, they rejected God, they rejected religion. And I asked them why. Why would you reject God when you were born into a Catholic family and you went to church and you prayed and you did all of this and that? And they would tell me, because of the atrocities of the Catholic Church upon them, the abuse that they faced, they said they couldn't believe in a God that would allow that to happen. So we have to recognize, brothers and sisters, that sometimes people have rejected Allah, rejected God, because of the actions of the practitioners. Today there are many people who don't believe in God, don't believe in Allah. There are Muslims who may even have, unfortunately, left Islam because they did not really know about Islam, about the Quran. They watched a few videos on YouTube and they were confused and they left Islam. They had a question by reading the Quran that the local sheikh or sayyid could not answer. They left Islam. They saw the bad actions of some people who call themselves Muslims, like the terrorists out there, who don't represent Islam, but they call themselves Muslims. And so some people, unfortunately, left Islam because of these kinds of people. So we have to realize that some people are non-believers because they haven't been shown the beauty of the religion of Islam. Now, we have to also appreciate the fact that how do we interact with these people of other religions, especially in this era and where we live today, is we realize that according to the ahkam, the jurisprudence, the fiqh of Islam, each of these groups that I just spoke about have a unique ruling. I don't have time to go into all of the rulings and, you know, the different maraja taqlid that we follow. They all give varying opinions on the level of interaction that we can have with people who are not Muslims. You know, what kind of food we can eat, who can we marry and we cannot marry, how close of social interaction we should have with them. But to give you one general understanding, and again, I don't want to go into the specifics tonight, but one general universal understanding is that no matter who it is, Muslim, whether they're Shia or Sunni or any other group, whether they're Christian or Jew or any other Abrahamic tradition or monotheistic tradition, whether they worship idols and bow down to statues, ultimately, as believers, as Muslims, we need to treat the people with respect. As Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, where He talks to Bani Israel and gives them some commandments, which are also reflective on what we should follow, one of them is where Allah says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak nice words to people. Be respectful to other people. Don't insult other people. As the Quran even tells us, that don't even insult or curse those people and the gods that they worship. وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. That don't even curse those people who call upon other than God and who call on idols, because they may curse Allah. So we should treat everybody with respect, regardless of their religion.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
راحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, chastity. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of chastity in the Islamic lifestyle. Now, we know that in the Islamic lifestyle, chastity is one of the most important parts of this lifestyle. And we all must have this chastity, this haya or ifaf, which is used in the Islamic texts, in the Arabic texts. This is very important, that a person who is believer, he must have the chastity in his life. And there are many prayers in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the same thing. We ask, for example, we say, Allahumma zayyini fihi bis-sitri wal-afaf, that, oh Allah, please give me the chastity and decorate my life with the chastity. And this is very, very important, that a person who believes that he is the believer and he is the true believer, he must have this chastity in his life. Now, this chastity is not only for the women, it's also for the men. There is a chastity for men and women both. So we cannot say that only chastity is for women. No, it's for the men as well. And this is very important, that we follow this thing, and we have this chastity in our life. Therefore, in order to have chastity, there are a couple of things which we need to know. The first thing in chastity is modesty. If a person has the modesty, he will definitely have the chastity as well. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of chastity, and we said that modesty is one of the basic parts of this chastity, that a person must have this modesty in his life, haya in his life, and this chastity should be, you know, it should be in the clothing, when he's talking to someone, when he is looking at someone, when he is communicating to someone. You know, this is very important, that when you're in a society, how you should live, this modesty. It is not only for the men, it's also for the women as well. And on the other side, like, it's not only for the women, it's for the men as well. Therefore, you know, in the society, in the Islamic society, a lady must cover herself. A lady must cover herself when she is in the public. And when she goes out, she must cover. She should not wear such a clothes which will make people attracting towards her. For example, way of, you know, stepping on the floor, or the shoe, selection of the shoes, selection of the clothes. Similarly, a man should also have this modesty, that when he's talking to someone who is non-mahram, when he's talking to someone, he must also have this modesty.
in his eyes, in his way of talking, in his thinking and thoughts. And we need to be very much careful when we are outside there, because this first important thing within chastity, which is modesty, it should be seen in everyone, so that when they socialize among the people and when they're socializing, they do make sure that they're living with the modesty and they have this chastity, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The role of outstanding people in helping the country reach the front lines of global science. This is a part of the speech delivered on November 17, 2021 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a number of the academic elite and top scientific talents of the country. Another point about the academic elite is that scientific personalities, as our discussion is about scientific personalities, must look to the future, the horizon drawn for science in the country, and pay attention to this. I have said before that we should move in such a way that in a reasonable period of time, a few years ago, I spoke of 50 years, Iran will be a source of science in the world. In other words, if people want to know about the latest scientific findings, they will have to learn Farsi. This is possible to happen in the future. You should not be surprised at this. It was like this one day in the world. Once, at a point in history, our scientists were at the pinnacle of knowledge in the world. Their books received careful attention and were cited in all the universities of the world. In the universities of the West and the East, India, China and the like, which were also centers of knowledge at that time. We must look to this horizon.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
A depiction of the stages for reaching the pinnacle of science in the world. Of course, there are certain stages needed for this. The first stage is to bridge the gap between us and other countries in terms of science. We have a large gap to fill. Of course, we admire the scientific progress we have made, as our statistics, which are based on global statistics, prove. This scientific progress is commendable, and we have truly made progress. However, we are far from being on the front lines of science in the world, and this is due to the fact that they have kept us behind for 200 years. After the victory of the revolution, a movement took place, and starting about two decades ago, a faster movement began. We have made good progress, but we are still a long way off. The first step is to fill this gap. The second step is to progress past the borders of world knowledge. In other words, we should be able to offer new scientific aids and new scientific discoveries to the world. I will expand on this later, and the next step after this is to pursue a new Islamic civilization.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, so welcome. Salamun alaikum, peace and salutations of God be upon all of you, dear friend. You choose today's special from IRIB English Radio to listen to, and we're going to speak about life after death in Islam. Today, Saturday, is the 28th of Rabiu Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we choose a few verses of the Holy Quran. For today, we'll listen to chapter Shu'ara, verse 87 to 89. Let's listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون.
And do not disgrace me on the day they are all resurrected.
يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون.
The day when there will not benefit anyone, wealth or children.
إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
But only one who comes to Allah with a sound heart.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Being abased and blamed in the hereafter is the worst state of a person. Among all of the difficulties and problems of the hereafter day, Prophet Ibrahim points to not being abased then. In hereafter, the worst punishment of the hell is that a person becomes despised, abject, and disgraced. In fact, two important worldly capitals, properties, and human abilities will not have the least effect for their possessors. Thus, their other capitals of this world will not avail them either.
I'm so confused. Tell me what's happened. So many voices in my head. But he told me that this day will come. Tell me, have I done enough? Yada be. Now my book's gone and closed. All my deeds are for show. So I lie here and wait for that day.
Life after death in Islam. This is our topic, and today is special. Everyone is scared of dying, and rightly so. The uncertainty of what lies beyond is frightening. It may be that of all religions. Islam provides the most graphic details of what comes after death and lies beyond. Islam views death to be a natural threshold to the next stage of existence. Islamic doctrine holds that human existence continues after the death of the human body in the form of spiritual and physical resurrection. There is a direct relation between conduct on earth and the life beyond. The afterlife will be one of the rewards and punishments which is commensurate with earthly conduct. A day will come when Allah will resurrect and gather the first and the last of His creation and judge everyone justly. People will enter their final abode, hell or paradise. Faith in life after death urges us to do right and to stay away from sin. In this life, we sometimes see the pious suffer and the impious enjoy. All shall be judged one day, and just will be served.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we know, nobody lives in this world forever. So death comes to everybody. And death is certain. And we have noticed the death of our beloveds, the death of our friends, and so on. What's important in this regard is that when someone's term of living in this world finishes and his time of departure arrives, the first thing is the very painful stages of leaving this world. According to the instructions provided by the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, the pangs of death or death pangs are very painful, very, really very painful for everybody. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam indicates that it's really harder than being described in such a way that people would sense it so long as they are alive in this world. At the same time, another stage after death is the moment of being taken to one's grave, one's tomb. A person who in this world was living in this world, and I mean in this world he was happy to enjoy going here and there, after death his body is taken to a grave, a very tight place, a very, narrow place, wherein his body is going to be put forever and ever, up to the day of judgment and the day of resurrection in the remote future. And really, this is very horrible.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Thank you very much for joining to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about stage one of the life hereafter, drawing the last breath. These are the moments when the dying person bids this world goodbye. One who is near to his maker will smell fragrance, which will turn death into a very pleasant and pleasurable experience. Of course, an opposite type of death awaits those who are not close to him and who apparently will experience death by way of suffocation. According to some traditions, two angels pull life out of each and every cell of the dying person's body, and it will not be fun at all. During these moments, the dying person will have a moment of contemplation on what he has just left behind, worries about the little ones, separation from wealth, estates, precious items, homes on which he spent fortunes, wealth which he amassed without making sure where it exactly came from. And there will be worries about how much he fell short of carrying out with regard to his duties to others and to his maker.
والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنبوئنهم من الجنة غرفا تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نعم أجر العاملين.
Means to prepare for the final journey. Let's speak about obligatory religious duties. The merits and virtues of duty performing obligatory and supererogatory acts of worship are beyond counting. Let us look into the following hadith. Allah says, I will declare war against him who shows hostility to devoted friend of mine. And the most beloved things with which my slave came nearer to me is what I have enjoined upon him. And my slave keeps on coming closer to me through performing nawafil. It means praying or doing extra deeds besides what is obligatory till I love him. When I love him, I become his sense of hearing with which he hears, and his sense of sight with which he sees, and his hands with which he grips, and his leg with which he walks. And if he asks me,
I will give him, and if he asks my protection and refuge, I will protect him.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trapped our souls in this physical body. We came to this life, we complete our trial, our test, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our soul back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the soul from this body. He separates the soul from this physical body. And that's what we call death. What is death? Death really is just a transition, moving from one stage to another stage. That's what death is. And this is a very important transition for us, respected brothers and sisters. When you examine the body of ahadith that we have, the verses in the Holy Quran, most verses in the Holy Quran are reminding us of this imminent transition that we all will be experiencing. I know some people, they don't like to talk about death. They don't like to hear about death. But in reality, when you speak about death, when you think of death, you're not really thinking of death. You're thinking of life. Because the Holy Quran tells us that death is in reality life. What does the Quran say? وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ The true life is where? The akhirah, the hereafter, the afterlife. That's the true life. In another verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures the state of the sinful one, the unbeliever, who will have so much regret, what will he say on the day of judgment? يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي I wish I would have been more prepared for my life, for the real life, because the real life is on the day of judgment. So when we talk about death, we are actually discussing life. And that should not spook anyone.
Dear friend, that was all with today's special about life after death in Islam, of course, just for today. Inshallah, we continue this topic. So, till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi aman Allah, and have a nice time.
From those around, I hear a cry, a muffled sob, a hopeless sigh. I hear their footsteps leaving slow, and then I know. A chilly wind begins to blow within my soul from head to toe, and then last breath escapes my lips. It's time to leave, and I must go. So it is true, but it's too late. They said each soul has its given day. When it must leave its body's core and meet with its eternal fate.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and let us ponder on the words of the Prophet of Islam regarding his divinely decreed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Nobody properly knows Allah except me and Ali. Nobody properly knows me except Allah and Ali. Nobody properly knows Ali except Allah and me. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very famous tradition, and I'm sure that most of our dear listeners have heard this tradition. It's a tradition that is quoted by both the Shi'i Hadith narrators and the Sunni Hadith narrators concerning Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But one of the things that many of us may not have, you know, been made aware of or have paid attention to in this tradition is the actual depth of the meaning of this tradition. The first part of tradition is quite simple, something that we all understand. But it is the second part that requires a little bit more of analysis, foresight, and even, if you want to say, in order to understand the reality of it, it is not something that can merely be understood with concepts or with the mind. It is something that has been given as a gift. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that Ali is with the truth, and the truth is with Ali. It turns whoever he turns, that is, that they are inseparable. Whichever way Imam Ali alayhi sallam goes, that is where the truth is going. Now, the first part of the tradition is quite simple to understand, that Ali is with the truth. That is obvious. That is not something that requires much explanation. That whatever Imam Ali alayhi salam does, whatever he says, because being the absolute, you know, perfect manifestation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he does is the truth. It's like the Holy Prophet is the uswah, the role model Imam Ali alayhi salam is also that. But it is the second part of the tradition that requires a little bit more of a discussion. And according to some of the insightful scholars, the mystics and those who have a profound understanding of religion, where the tradition says and truth is with Ali, it is something that requires a bit more thought, a bit more of pondering is needed on the second part. So what do we mean by the truth is with Ali? Some of the scholars have mentioned that wherever you see a person mentioning truth, whoever that person is, it doesn't, which is one of the explanations, obviously, that regardless of what that person, you know, what that person is claiming to follow, or what that person, you know, is saying, or who that person is, or what religion he is from, and so on and so forth, if truth comes from within him, from his sayings, from his acts, whatever, there is truth in it, know that that truth, Ali alayhi salam, is also there. This is one of the other possible explanations that some of the scholars give. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to distinguish the truth, and by doing so, find Imam Ali alayhi salam there, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, dear brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be joining you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So, please stay tuned.